And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, on this very warm Friday, it's my great pleasure to welcome a warm personality in the form of City of Palmer's City Manager, Nate Wallace. Welcome, Mr.
Good morning.
Wallace. How are you doing today?
Trying to stay cool.
I noticed that. Now, you're dressed a little bit differently today, and you've suggested before we began that you're going to be doing something other than what you typically do on Fridays. What's that all about? What are you going to do today?
I'll be participating with the Chamber today for their Chamber's annual golf tournament. So the city has a team out there today. Show our support.
Okay. Well, I've noticed this year, and we've had an opportunity to speak with George Cullum, and he's sung the praises of the Palmer Golf Course. It's been a good year. And I know a couple of people. I have some inside information that have been playing regularly, and they like the course. It's pretty good.
It's a real nice course for Alaska. You could put it up against many municipal courses in the lower 48, too. But this time of year, it's in great shape. We've survived the winter again. We're doing a lot of things out there. George is really a one-man show out there with his crew.
Yep.
We support him with our contract, which we've redone to make it profitable for both sides, as it hasn't quite been for both. But, it's coming around, and we've spent a little time and effort from the city side helping make it even better with the clubhouse this year. We did some work around the clubhouse. So going to have a... not a grand opening or reopening, but we're going to have a ribbon-cutting ceremony July 10th to celebrate the new deck, the painted shed, the painted golf club, and just to revitalize, not that it really needs it, but the interest the city has.
And you came on board here with the city at a good time because the city had taken out a loan initially. And there was, I remember going back, you'd have to go back some decades when the city of Palmer said, okay, we're going to have a golf course, et cetera, and required some money. And it was paid off over the years. And there was some concern, well, maybe not, that was not a good thing to do. But now there is no loan. It's gone. It's paid for. Is that correct?
No, it was paid for the first few months I got here. It was the final payment. Right. It's nice in the sense that the golf course is its own profit center.
Yes.
Or supposed to be its own profit center. And once that loan was paid off, it's broken even since I've been here. And again, it's not anything I've done, but that loan being paid off has helped. But it's like any community piece, something that the government provides to its citizens. A golf course is a form of recreation, much like our rec center, our library. You can even compare it to the police department, the fire department. It's a service that the city provides to the citizens when they ask for it. So we have our priorities. Priorities is safety first. So that's our police department gets the first efforts. But we've been fortunate enough to have funds to be able to support some of the recreational facilities we have in town, which is, I think, folks appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I can see happy people out there all the time. So getting from here to there, let's go to the various ways a person now can travel on the streets and byways of Palmer. I understand the road. You can actually. There's not if you leave.
You're talking about all the red and orange signs that point in different directions, or are we just talking about the trails and sidewalks we have?
Well, there's still construction going on. But if you're going to the golf course, you could drive pretty clearly from downtown Palmer to the golf course without encountering any construction.
This morning you should be able to. South Chugach was closed for about 48 hours while we were repairing the water and sewer main in that area. They were a little bit too close for standards, so we were separating those.
Okay, I noticed someone had mentioned that. They said they had found a route around some other construction. And lo and behold,
more construction.
It was whack-a-mole. This one popped in front of them.
Yeah, it's not that we plan those, but we can't put things off for too long. And
sure,
that one just came to the point where we had to get it done in order to be able to allow that senior project to start letting people live there.
Yeah.
That's where their water was coming through that intersection. and we had to do some work there to make sure we could turn that water on and that it was safe and wouldn't.
Okay. And it's pretty much done now.
It was a one-day deal. There'll be some work continued. I don't think it got paved yet. So from a safety standpoint, we had to close the entire road because it was about a lane and a half's worth of work. But when it comes time to pave, it'll be slow for a day. But
what I have noticed is that there's been a lot of work being done as promised on improvements of driveways into parking lots, corner access points, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Crews came in rapidly all over the city. It seems at once we're able to cut away the old as I've noticed, pretty much move along in the center area with completing the cement work, but not quite all of the work to make the entrances and the crosswalk areas usable.
It's a continuing project. Started about 2 years ago. One of the first things that Chris, our public works director, did, and saw an opportunity to apply for a grant that a program for federal funding for alternative transportation. That's available to the state, and it's really kind of an unused resource for other cities, not just Palmer. And we had a master plan for ADA sidewalk improvement that's about 10 years old. It's kind of been languishing. We're doing bits and pieces of the worst corners. He applied the first year he was here. It was about 3 years ago, and received a $100,000 grant to do some work, which was huge. It was a 90-10, I believe, 90% federal funding, 10% city, to get that work done. So $10,000 got us $100,000. We applied the next year, asked for the same, but because we were able to get the project done, close out the project with all the paperwork, somebody at the state suggested we ask for more. So we did, and I think we got $200,000 that year. And then this year we received $350,000, and next year we've already been approved for $500,000. So...
Ooh,
so, yeah, see, there's a lot of work going on this year. You can almost see that doubled next year on sidewalk. And it's not just it's primarily the curb ramps and driveways for the ADA accessibilities and with the dots. So you can know you're coming up on a driveway other than by the tilt. A lot of our roads and sidewalks have tilts anyway, so it's a good indicator. But we've also had some sections of sidewalk that don't meet ADA standards because of frost heaves and things like that. If there's a certain... height difference between the cracks, we have to bring those down, or if there's a significant rise or dip, those things have to be fixed. So it's a great project for the city. Again, 10% match is you can't say no to that kind of money when it doesn't come with a lot of strings other than get the work done and make sure you do it fair and transparent.
Right. Well, last Tuesday at the council meeting, there was a presentation about the greater area trails development and so on. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to connect some pieces, dots of places with all of the work being done. One of the concerns that has been expressed in the past is connectivity. So how would you describe the process right now for saying these improvements were being made, the local crosswalk, off the sidewalk, roads, etc., with the broader plan of how do you get from one place to another? You know, the simple thing of, okay, so you have people in the Pioneer Home that would like to come into town. Mm-hmm. How do they do that? Is there a good pathway? There are people at various schools. There are people that maybe want to go over to the library, ride a bike in a way that allows them to do this safely with the proper crossings and so on. How's that coming along?
Well, some of the pieces you've mentioned have been they were considered years ago. So the Pioneer Home has sidewalks in front, and mm-hmm. In the winter they get plowed. Those are one of the first ones that get plowed. There's a crosswalk, actually, that goes from the Pioneer Home to the museum or the visitor center. And then there's a sidewalk in front of the visitor center, and there's a crosswalk that brings you across by the library to the downtown, and then the downtown has sidewalks. So that was connected years ago. It's just a matter of making sure, and the work that's going on right now is in that area to make sure they can get to the downtown and also up to the borough building. The on Chugach, the senior center, there's a sidewalk that goes from Palmer Junior Middle all the way to the corner, and then it branches off from there. We're trying to mentally connect, psychologically connect the MTA Event Center to downtown. It's walkable. It's not that far.
Right.
There's a short section from to get across the street. There's a cross at the corner down on Chugach, but there's no real sidewalk path that takes you directly to the MTA Event Center. And that brings its challenges because there's no infrastructure on that side of the road.
Right.
But you can still walk there. It's not a crowded road, and you can get across if you need to. That's one of the things that we're really either we're struggling with or trying to come to grips with. You know, Palmer 10, 15 years ago, it was walkable downtown. I mean, truly, you could walk in the middle of the street, and
sure,
you know, that was okay. We've grown. We didn't set aside more room for those things because, you know, not so much not having the foresight, but, you know, the buildings are built right on the edge of the street, so you really can't do much more than we've done downtown other than get rid of street parking or close roads altogether. So your urban paths, if you want to call them that, may take you off of a sidewalk and into a residential area. I mean, if you want to go from Alaska Street, if you don't want to get on the sidewalk because there's people walking on it, well, you can ride your bike down Bailey, one block over, and then come up behind, say, Vagabond Blues on, I think it's Dahlia, or maybe Dogwood.
Right.
It's streets. So there's still urban areas that you can go without fighting traffic. There's no sidewalk, and probably won't be sidewalk in those areas just because those streets are so narrow and that's all the right-of-way we have. And the traffic that's down those streets probably doesn't really legitimately call for spending.
I'm thinking, we mentioned very briefly earlier signage, because when I've been in larger cities, I can remember Washington, D.C. most recently, mm-hmm. riding a bike. Yes, you could try to whip out an app and say this is the way it goes, but it was very helpful to have an obvious pathway to follow with a sign that said a bike path this way or whatever. So that if someone is new or trying to find that way or isn't aware of it, even if you've lived here, to be able to do that. Is there much work being done around signage to say this way for safe biking or whatever?
So there's a wayfinding study that was done 2 years ago that touched on that. My personal take on signage is that we're going to put so many signs up that you're not going to be able to
see it. Yeah.
You're not going to want to get lost. And I was asked about we need to put a crosswalk sign in front of Vagabond Blues. There's a crosswalk out there. Why isn't there a crosswalk sign? Well, I'm scratching my head. You know, we do need a crosswalk sign there. Mm-hmm. So I was driving home. It's the tallest sign on the street is the crosswalk sign. And there's one going both directions. So it's how many more signs do we need? It's like speed limit signs. We could put a speed limit sign every 15 feet, but
sure,
people become numb to them and they drive the speed that's, you know, the comfort, the speed they feel comfortable driving in the conditions that we're in. So
you make a good point. The signage, while it seems simple to put a sign, is fairly complicated in terms of being in the particular environment and being visible and so on. Briefly going back to the MTA events.
And we're also so small. I mean, how many signs do you put for directional on two blocks?
Yeah.
So there's a balance. We probably do need some more signage, but the question of how much and where and if we're going to have we got to find a balance and we've got to figure out who the audience really is.
The MTA Event Center, behind it, there's all that new construction.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed the road, last time I looked, was just paved. Is there a sidewalk there that leads out?
So that's all private property. But there is a path. It's not concrete, but there is a walkway that goes from the that senior housing complex, 84 units, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 44 ready to occupy. So the road was paved, and they paved a trail, pathway.
So it did pave a trail.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's paved.
Yeah.
And the driveway, not the road, is paved as well.
So, and that's, of course, the confusing aspect when anybody going by looks and says, oh, it does look like a road, but mm-hmm. you're pointing out is private property and is really a long driveway into the area. Okay, got that. Let's get to the big one, the big dig, et cetera. I noticed we've had a...
Boston?
What? No. Bigger, Palmer, Alaska. Todd from DOT has nicely continued to update us on the construction, and during the 4th of July time frame for about 4 or 5 days, they're going to cease work there because I think a lot of people passing through that area. But then right after, there'll be paving that will begin, which sounds like it means then that in a very short time afterwards, people will be driving on paved path through that area right at the Palmer Wasilla Highway in Palmer. Is that correct, or have I misread that?
They're driving on pavement now. So what they'll be driving on will be fresh pavement, but the construction will not be over because they're going to grind up the current pavement.
Right.
Do some additional work and then pave again to make it a wider road. So, yes, it will be paved. The intersection will be paved, but
The rest of the story
is they will work on the half that we're driving on now.
Okay.
But the good news is they're going to pave the intersections because most of that work is done or will be done by the 8th.
6 weeks from 4th of July to the beginning of the Alaska State Fair. Do they seem to be on track to make it?
Make it. will stop construction during the fair. So the roadway will be accessible. At the rate they're going, I think they will. The contractor has two major projects ongoing, and I believe they're closing out one. They're working also at the Anchorage Airport.
Okay.
I believe that's, if not already closed out, is in the very final stages, and those crews will be coming out here as well. So that will accelerate a lot of the work they're doing. I think this side of town by August will be done. The fairgrounds will be well on their way, but if it's not done, they'll shut down and the roads will be open for the fair. The interesting piece is I don't think that will be the bottleneck. I think the bottleneck will be at the parks interchange if the state doesn't do something with that off-ramp.
I have, as recent as last night, come back from Anchorage, and you're right. I'm thinking, wait a second, it's the middle of the summer. They've known this since November. Ooh, do you have any sense that there's a piece of work to be done soon?
There's work that needs to be done. I don't have a sense on what that looks like. It's not really part of the parks interchange work that's supposed to happen in phase two of this project, so I don't know that they're waiting for that. So I don't have a sense at all on when that's going to get done.
Well, for the normal traffic, and I think listeners who have driven through there, I have not, the occasional times I've come through, found it to be a problem. But normal isn't what happens in August with the State Fair traffic.
No. Yeah, even when anything is wide open, both lanes, it gets backed up to the bridges.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I would guess that in 6 weeks, given the extent of the damage in that area, that nothing much is going to happen to finish it.
I don't know. It doesn't. I mean, I'm not an engineer or a safety expert by any means. To me, it doesn't look like it would be that much. But
well, okay.
Bring some gravel, pound it down, put some pavement on it.
Are there any other large projects that we have not mentioned that the city is engaged in that people would notice? at times it's a large project and it's happening off somewhere, and it's improving the infrastructure, et cetera, but it's not right in people's face while they travel and walk about, et cetera. Are there any other large projects the city's engaged in this summer?
No, but the sidewalk work will continue. It's ongoing out by the ball fields. So some of that work will you'll see more on that side once they finish up by the visitor center and the library. But it's, again, that's on the tail end. So we're hoping to have things wrapped up at least around the library and the museum visitor center by July 12th. Because of the event that's coming up, the Midsummer Garden Fair, make sure that we have access to the quad, access to the parking lot. So that's kind of our focus on that area, to get that done before that hits.
Okay.
The rest of it is, there's nothing new coming down the pike. Some little projects we'll start. We've done some right-of-way clearing. The crews that do that are also our crews that mow the parks, fix the potholes and things like that. So some of that work it goes off and on throughout the summer, so we'll continue to, you'll see the mowers out. It doesn't make everybody happy.
Have there been?
But if you don't maintain the right-of-way, then the city has to come in and to bring it down so you can see around corners and things like that. So,
okay. I've noticed two or three beetle-infested spruce trees being cut down on the borough property recently.
Yes.
Are there a large number of spruce trees on city property that are coming down?
There were some that were in the arboretum that came down. The MEA donated time to bring those down. None that we've seen that are in city property. The city really, for the tree work, we look mostly to see what's blocking our streetlights.
Okay.
What infringing on streetlights. Those that are leaning towards the roadways, things like that. But as far as beetle kill, we haven't really identified any that are an issue.
Okay, that's good. Well, the last topic, of course, is the work of the Creative Crosswork Committee, which it appeared was able to be accomplished with minimum interruption, and has produced an interesting design, colorful crosswalk at the museum, which I'm happy to say was not damaged much by the work that was done to fix that sidewalk right there. But that's done, and I've had a number of people say that they liked the way it looked, and it the only problem is that the job was so well done that the ordinary crosswalk pales literally by comparison.
I think that may have been the intent. But it's still a visible sign that's a crossing point, and that's from the police department, police chief's standpoint was, the first thing is we've got to make sure we identify the safe place to cross.
Right.
The second is that it's not a distraction to the driver.
Right.
That's a hit or miss on who's looking at it, whether it's a distraction or not. I've seen positive comments. The only comments, and they have been made to me. I monitor some of the Facebook pages.
Right.
I think the only thing negative I've seen about it has been some folks thought the city paid for it and expended city money on it. Well, that wasn't the case. This was a completely volunteer effort funded by those volunteers.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's in that sense.
And I think it may, once the summary of this is presented to the Trails Committee and also to the council to say, okay, here, this was an example, a pilot, if you will, et cetera. And then if the city in some process wants to develop a policy for, maybe people will be inspired and say, okay, well, here's a way to do that that doesn't require each time dealing with it as a one-off.
I think it'll always have to be a one-off because of the art. And art can always be controversial. Now, whether a crosswalk gets painted, I think we've solved that. Here's the type of paint. Here's how you do it. Here's the permit process. Here's the type of paint.
Okay.
Here's where you can go buy it. Actually contact the Creative Crosswalk folks on where they bought it, maybe.
Yeah.
But the artwork is going to have some type of governmental approval, just because it's public property and those things require, somebody. It could be just me. But I don't think that's appropriate for one person to decide for the entire community on something that's, it's against art in one man's mind is garbage or profane in another man's mind. So we've just got to keep that in mind, that it can't be just what I want to do, city manager, do it. So
yeah. And finding it that would be both encouraging and efficient and respectful and all the rest of that stuff.
Yeah. So I think the process on the mechanics of how to do it are there. That's been sorted out. Now it's just a matter of here's the art and here's where. And then the council, Parks Board, can give a thumbs up or thumbs down or suggestions, and then the council again.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. We have a few moments left. Any last comments you'd like to share with listeners about any aspect of life here in the big city?
Well, we've got two openings on planning and zoning. So anybody that lives within the city, that's the one board that has to have, by law, somebody from within the city limits to sit on it. So two openings there for anybody that wants to see what government service is like if you haven't done it in the past, or if you have been on the board in the past and want to serve again.
Right.
A great opportunity there to determine zoning and land use issues. We have an opening on the council, and it's just been posted today.
Yeah, one initially, and potentially an interesting
four
set more. Yeah.
So Councilmember LaFrance has submitted his resignation. He's leaving the country, actually.
Right.
So his position is open for appointment. The council will appoint somebody, and that position will be appointed. The application process is open for 2 weeks. Get your application in with the clerk, and then the council will follow their process. The process identified now is they'll review the applications, and last time they interviewed, I gave that opportunity for those to speak that wanted to, and then they selected one, voted, the council votes, and they select somebody to fill that seat until the following election, which in this case is in October. So it's about a 2 to 3 month appointment. It doesn't prevent that person from running again, or no. Running, which is a completely separate process, which
sure.
is the follow-on.
Once appointed, they would have to...
Yeah, if they want to remain, then they'll need to run for that seat.
Got it.
And that's a whole other process that the clerk, I think, is going to come talk about in a
yes.
couple of weeks.
Yes, she will. Next week is 4th of July. We'll be off, but the following week she's coming in to do that.
And I think that process opens July 15th, middle of July, and it's open for a couple of weeks.
Right,
to apply. So our mayor position is her term is ending. So that position will be open.
It'll be on the ballot.
It will be on the ballot. And then two council members every year will be on the ballot. And then this fourth position, which is
right.
which is unusual.
Yeah.
Well, not so much unusual.
No.
Our last election.
You may be facing
a
sea change, as they say.
Yes.
Or not.
So that's what we've got coming. And then the city has several positions that we're opening on the staff. So the HR position is open.
Oh, okay.
Our HR manager is moving out of state.
Okay.
And then we have seasonal groundkeepers and a position in finance that's open. So if anybody wants to come work for the
whoa,
city.
Oh, whoa.
Not often do we have full-time positions on the city because it's a great place to work. People don't often leave. But it's that time of year.
All right. Thank you, Nate Wallace, City Manager of the City of Palmer, for coming in today and sharing on this warm but somewhat smoky day. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your City of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.